For our study this morning, I want to read a few verses of Scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as a basis for our study. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. I want us to focus our study on the statement that Paul made here in this context. We persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. As man defines the word persuade as used in this text, he says it signifies to apply persuasion, to prevail upon or win over, to persuade, bringing about a change of mind by the influence of reason or moral consideration. So persuasion is all about doing what we can to bring about a change of heart, a change of mind, as a result of reasoning with those with whom we come in contact. Understand that only persuaded men and women change, and God only persuades by the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there beginning in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Other translation will render that by the message preached. God chose that men be persuaded through the preaching of the gospel, that is the cross of Christ. Because it is the power of God of salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God of salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. In this context, we learn why Paul persuaded men. In verse 9, he said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. One of the reasons that Paul made an effort to persuade men was so he could be well-pleasing to God. In verse 10, you see another reason, to prepare himself as well as others for the judgment. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So Paul wanted to prepare other people as well as himself for the judgment. And then in verse 11, you see that this is out of fear or reverence, respect for the Lord. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because he had respect for God. He had a reverence, a godly fear. As a result of this, he made an effort to persuade men. Now I want you to consider with me this morning four questions in regard to our persuading men. And the first question I want you to think about is this. About what do men need to be persuaded? What do we need to be talking with people about, reasoning with them about in our efforts to persuade men? And I suggest, first of all, they need to be persuaded about their sins. John chapter 16 to verse 8. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2 Samuel chapter 12, there at verse 7, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And as a result of his confronting David, David said, I have sinned. And you remember in Acts the 2nd chapter, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when he said, you have by wicked hands crucified and slain the Lord of glory. This same Jesus whom you crucified had been made both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They recognized that they had sinned. They were persuaded that they had sinned. There must be a sense of guilt. It is absolutely essential to repentance. But in our society today, people fail to see themselves as sinners anymore. I was reminded of an article that I had seen a number of years ago by Brother Robert Turner in his column at the last page of his bulletin, Plain Talk, titled Stuff About Things. I want to read you a few excerpts from it. If the prodigal son were living today, and then he said in parentheses, as if he were not, he wouldn't be a sinner, a juvenile delinquent perhaps, but his parents would be to blame for that. There are no bad boys, you know. His wild oats are just youthful exuberance, a normal rebellion against unjust society. He must be free to adjust positively. There are no liars today. They're just fine people who are extroverts with imaginative talents that should be properly channeled. They evidence creative ability. Their instability is a facet of their capacity for free, uninhabited thought. They may become great poets, lawyers, or even preachers. The drunkard is not really a sinner. He has an inferior complex and makes a mechanical adjustment, albeit a liquid one, to the problems of today. Besides that, he's sick. He beats his wife, starves his children, and is a scourge to society. So he needs our sympathetic understanding. Adultery may be sinned in far-off slum districts, but not among movie stars or popular public figures. And don't even mention the word when we get close to home. Here it's simply a case of biological maladjustment. The sex pervert was denied free discussion at home. His parents were old-fashioned and believed in common decency. His mistake is the fault of modern society. Maybe a murderer, just maybe. On the other hand, he may be the victim of some early traumatic experience. His mother was overprotective. He was greatly inhibited. He was never allowed to push his oats off the high chair tray, so now he pushes his wife off the Brooklyn Bridge. That's just a few excerpts from those terms of thoughts. There's no real old-fashioned sinners anymore. There's always some kind of excuse for their action. People need to be persuaded that they are sinners. We need to be persuaded that we are sinners. Remember Romans 3:23, we said, all have sinned. And don't leave any of us out. So we need to persuade people that they're sinners. They also need to be persuaded that they have a Savior. He is the remedy for sin. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Those who are persuaded will indeed believe. You read in Acts chapter 28 and verse 23. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. This is the Apostle Paul. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. When people hear the word of God, they can be persuaded. Or else, John 8 verse 24, Jesus said, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. People need to be persuaded that they have a Savior, Jesus Christ. They need to be persuaded that they are indeed accountable to God. Remember verse 10 of our text? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. that every one may receive the things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, he commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because there is a judgment day coming. He's appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. That man whom he hath ordained is Jesus Christ. Men need to be persuaded about their sins. They need to be persuaded that they have a Savior who is Jesus Christ. They need to be persuaded that they are indeed accountable before God. Now arises the question, who's going to do this persuading? Matthew chapter 28, we learn that it's the ones who are taught. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18, Jesus gave this commission to his disciples. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The apostles persuaded men at the teaching or about the teaching of Jesus. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then he taught those who were baptized to observe all things that he had commanded them. Who's the them? Those who were baptized were to observe what they had been taught. What had they been taught? They'd been taught the gospel of Christ. And Jesus gave them the commission to go teach all nations. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those who are taught, those who are persuaded, need to be persuading other men. Paul phrased this way in 2 Timothy chapter 2, there in verse 2, the things that thou hast learned or things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Only persuaded men are going to do what they can to persuade others. Those who are persuaded of the things that we talked about earlier in regard to their sin, in regard to their Savior, and their accountability to God, those who are persuaded of these things will be the individuals who will be persuading other men. This is the what. About what do people need to be persuaded? And when we're persuaded about the what, we're persuaded that people are in sin, that they're lost as a result of sin. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so when people are persuaded that individuals are in sin, that they're lost eternally, will spend an eternity in the devil's hell, and they're persuaded that Jesus Christ can rid them of their sin, and then when they realize they're accountable to God, they want to get rid of that sin so that when they stand before God, they can give account to God as a result of being good stewards of the grace of God. When faithful men are persuaded about these things, then they have an intense desire to persuade other individuals. And so we talked about the what. We talked about the who in regard to being this matter of persuading men. Let's look at the how. How are men to be persuaded by other men? The only method we have, obviously, is the Word of God. John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You remember in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, when they both died, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. He was comforted. the rich man found himself in torment. And in verse 27 of Luke chapter 16, the text says that the rich man said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. The him he's talking about is Lazarus. He wanted to send Lazarus back to his father's house. He said, for I have five brethren, that he may cry unto them that they also come, that lest they also come into this place of torment. The rich man did not want his five brothers to come to the place where he was. And so how was he proposing that this be avoided? That Abraham sent Lazarus back to testify to them. What did we need to testify? That means to tell them about God's will. Now listen to what Abraham said to him. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now basically what Abraham said is, they have God's word. They had it in written form. We talked some about that in Bible class this morning. When Jeremiah was instructed to write on a roll, it was carried to the king. And as it was read, he cut it with a penknife and burned it up in the fire. They did not reverence or respect God's word. This rich man said, send Lazarus back, he can testify. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. The rich man understood that his brothers needed to repent. And he said, if you'll send someone back from the dead, then they'll repent. Listen again to what Abraham said to him. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If they won't hear Moses and the prophets, if they won't listen to God's word that's written, confirmed by miracles all through Old Testament history, if they won't listen to that, they won't listen if somebody comes back from the dead. Today, we have someone who came back from the dead. He revealed his will by the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And they wrote his will down for us today. The question is, are we listening to his will? Abraham said these five brethren are supposed to hear God's messengers, the prophets. Miraculous occurrences was not to be used in an effort to persuade men. Now let that sink in for a moment. Abraham said they need to hear what has been written, what God spoke through Moses and the prophets. It was written down. There was no miraculous occurrence that would bring them to repentance. Remember Romans 1 verse 16? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. To everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. Verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as written, the just by faith shall live. And how does faith come? Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The just live by faith. Paul refers to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, as the word of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have the word of reconciliation. The word reconciliation means to make friends again. The word reconcile means to make friends. The prefix re means again. At one time, man was friends with God. But man sinned in the very beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, God drove them from his presence. From that time forward, God has been engaged in carrying out his plan to restore man to a right relationship with him. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation, the means of reconciling the world. the means of persuading men to come back to God is His Word. We're not persuaded by gimmicks, not persuaded by food, fun, frolic, or an appeal to the carnal nature. And you'll see all of these kind of things in so many religious organizations in the world today. I'm studying for a lesson, a plan for tonight. Understand that there are over 1,500 different religious bodies in the United States of America. And in the vast majority of these, the appeal is to the carnal nature. Food, fun, frolic of some sort. That's not what persuades men to serve God. That's not what persuades men about their sins and their Savior and their accountability to God. That just simply satisfies the carnal appetites. The thing that persuades men is the Word of God. The Word of reconciliation. And so the tool that we have, as Paul phrases in his letter to the Ephesians, is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. In Luke 8 and verse 11, it's referred to as the seed of the kingdom, the Word of God. That's all we have to offer people. That's the only thing that will persuade them in the manner that they needed to be persuaded. But remember, we need to have a sense of urgency about this matter of persuading men. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We need to have this sense of urgency. I need to do it now. Today. Not tomorrow. I'm a real good procrastinator, and I suspect I'm not by myself. I know something that I need to be doing. But tomorrow's a whole lot better day to do it than today. I suspect most of us are sort of like that. But we just must develop this sense of urgency in teaching people the gospel of Christ. Now, obviously, everybody's not going to listen. Not everybody listened to our Lord. Not everybody listened to the apostles. Remember, they said, because you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They turned away from Jews because they rejected Christ. So no, everybody's not going to listen. As we talked about in our Bible class lesson, we don't cast our pearl before the swine. We don't give that which is holy to the dogs. There comes a point when you realize you're not being effective. You're not really persuading this individual. They've rejected the Word of God, so you need to find somebody else. But work at it, we must. We need to do it with a spirit of boldness. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul said, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. An ambassador in bonds. He's in jail. That wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Speak boldly, even though he's in jail. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. Another place he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. They were in front of the civil authorities, individuals who had the power to literally take their lives. And they said, well, it's right to listen to you more than God. You be the judge. Obviously, the answer to that is, listen to God is more important. We're not apologetic in our deliverance of God's word. We need to be bold, but at the same time, we need to do it with love and genuine concern for lost souls. Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. This kind of love is the same kind of love that God had for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God did an incredible thing, an incredibly unselfish thing. He gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice. That's the kind of love we're talking about. Speaking the truth in love. Desiring that which is best for the individual. It's not the kind of mushy, gushy, kind of thing that people today call love. Patting them on the back and telling them everything's all right. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all going on the same road to heaven. That may not be true. It may in fact be a lie. They may not be on the road to heaven. We need to let them know. But we need to do it in the spirit of love, care and concern for them. It needs to be genuine concern. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, with long suffering, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering. But he didn't stop there. Long suffering and doctrine. Yes, we need to suffer long, but we need to always hold on to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the teaching of Christ. Remember, it's the only thing that will persuade men about their sin. That's how we're to persuade men. With the Word of God. With a sense of urgency about us. Being very bold in our proclamation of the Word of God. Doing it with love and care and concern for the souls of men. And being long-suffering, patient, kind. So when are we to do this? When are men, and I use the term men in the generic sense, that includes both male and female. When are they to be persuaded? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, where he said, I've heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I scored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, that's the time. In Galatians 6, verse 10, Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. The expression there literally means while we can. As we have opportunity, that means while we can, while we're here, while we're able to do that, we need to be doing it. As we noted earlier, most of us intend. We have plans, we have purposes. We mean to. One day I'm going to, while opportunities pass and sinners die unprepared to meet God. And I haven't said a word to them. I include myself in that number because there are times when I realize I had a golden opportunity and I let it pass. And I'm sure that's the case with you. We need to be more aware of the opportunities that are presented to us on a regular basis. Right now, today, is the time to be involved in this work of persuading men. Not tomorrow, today.
Amen, Brother Jerry.
I put it off. I lost that opportunity. We are very satisfied with our status in life for the most part. We have all the comforts that money can provide for us, generally speaking. We're in our nice warm houses and we have our nice comfortable easy chairs. I'm right in that number. It's difficult sometimes to get up, get dressed, and go see someone, talk to someone, or find someone's phone number. And send them a text message or give them a call or send them a card and do what I can to get them interested in studying the Bible. I know it's difficult in our day and time to find somebody that's interested in studying with us. But we have all kinds of means and methods of studying the Bible with people. Most of us have the Bible on our cell phones. But when a question comes up, do I really know enough of God's Word to be able to turn to a passage in the Bible and show them what the Scripture says? It's the Word of God that will persuade men. Am I using it? So a couple more questions. Have you been persuaded that you are a sinner? Do you understand that you as a human being are a sinner? You may never obey the gospel of Christ. Do you understand that you have a Savior, that you are accountable to Him for the sins that are in your life? If you have never obeyed the gospel, are you putting it off? Remember, we're not promised tomorrow. In Acts chapter 26, verse 28, Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Remember what Paul said. "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." Paul said, "I'd like for everybody that in the sound of my voice to be like I am, that is to be a Christian. Be like I am, except these bonds." He didn't want them to be bound, to be in prison. But he wanted them to be Christians, wanting them to be persuaded. For as we know, Agrippa was never fully persuaded to be a Christian. It may be at one time you were persuaded by the word of God, you obeyed the gospel, and you've fallen by the wayside. And you need to be persuaded again to serve the Lord. Remember, only the word of God will do that. I can't persuade you by offering you a cup of coffee and a donut. And I might persuade you to visit with me by offering you a cup of coffee and a donut. But that won't straighten out the things that are wrong in your life. Only allowing the word of God to work in your life can you correct the things that are wrong in your life, so that you can again serve the Lord faithfully. And let me hasten to add, there's not a problem in the world that cannot be corrected with the word of God. I don't care what kind of hypothetical situation you can dream up. God's word has the solution. Now, I may not like the solution, but God's word has the solution to my problems. And Brother David mentioned in his comment before the Lord's Supper, the church in Corinth had a lot of problems. And Paul dealt with them throughout his writings in the first letter to the church in Corinth. They had a lot of problems that had to be dealt with. And obviously they dealt with some of them, because the tone of the letter, the second letter he writes, it's apparent that they had indeed dealt with some of the issues that were plaguing the church there. But the only way you can deal with those is the word of God. It's the only thing that will truly persuade men. How are we using his word? Maybe a better question would be, am I using his word? It's one thing to understand that I need to be using the word of God to persuade men that they're sinners, that there is a Savior that's available to them, and that they are indeed accountable to God. It's one thing to understand that people need to be persuaded of those things, but it's quite another thing to be actually involved to the extent of my ability in persuading individuals about those facts. Have you been persuaded? Have you been obedient to the gospel of Christ? If not, we'd urge you this very day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Urge you to do what is necessary to make your life right with God. If you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess his name publicly, you can be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord will add you to his church, just like he did on the day of Pentecost. You have been added to the family of God, and you have gone back into the world. You have ceased serving him. You're not persuaded in the way that you ought to be persuaded to be serving him faithfully. You need to return to the Lord, repenting of your sin, asking him to forgive you. And he's promised he will. This will correct anything in your life if you're willing to truly repent of your sins. Be sorry for them. Turn away from them. The word of God can persuade you to do that if you'll allow it to. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for encouragement.